ones who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
In the year 1978, a young boy aged 5 desperately wanted more after seeing the movie Star Wars in the theater. The geek gods heard this cry and gave the child 2 TV shows that quenched his thirst as Battlestar Galactica debuted, followed a year later by Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Please join this 5-year-old, now in his late 40s, Sean Kidd, and his watch companion Scott Shiflett, as Sean relives, remembers, and re-watches his 2 favourite TV shows as a young man, and Scott watches them for the first time. This is Battlestar in the 25th century.
In the year 1987, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes. Aboard this compact starship, a lone astronaut, Captain William Buck Rogers, was to experience cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. In a freak mishap, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown out of its planned trajectory into an orbit 1,000 times more vast, an orbit which was to return Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
Place to Be Pop, welcome to episode number 7, I believe, of Battlestar in the 25th Century. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and I am joined by my co-host, Scott Shiflett. Scott, how are you tonight?
Sean, you can't see it, but I'm practicing my karate moves right now, just ready for battle.
So you're practicing your, remember, we got to put space between every word, so space karate.
Yeah,
you're practicing space karate.
Space karate is what I'm practicing right now.
So I am very excited for tonight's episode. I'm excited we've made it to episode number 7. 2, I'm super excited we finally made it back to Buck Rogers. So far in our Buck Rogers watch, we've only made it to the premiere movie, the first 2 parts, whereas we've already watched, 5 Battlestar Galacticas at this point? So
yes,
this is a big moment. And guess what? We have another 2-parter. So we are going to watch part 1 of Buck Rogers episode 3, Planet of the Slave Girls, part 1. And right away, Scott, I'm excited by the title. I don't know about you.
Oh, me too. I was just like, okay, they were definitely like, we're going to target a certain demographic, and this is how we'll lead them in.
And the other cool thing about this is like the first, like, it's kind of like episode 4 of Battlestar when we were looking at Lost Planet of the Gods. That's like the first official episode of the actual series. So this one is actually the first actual episode of Buck Rogers, the TV series. And if you remember when we left off with Buck about a month ago, Buck had turned down the directorate's offer to be part of the Earth Defense Directorate, and he's kind of just going to slum it in his little headquarters and just kind of hang out, and that's kind of how they left the movie off. So you ready to jump right in and pick back up where Buck might be at this point?
Oh, ready and willing, partner.
All right, so we are paused at a minute 41, so we fast-forwarded through all the credits, et cetera, et cetera. As always, we are on Tubi, so again, shout-out to Tubi. Probably my next favorite, or maybe one of my main favorites next to Pluto on the free TV channel platforms. They do a great service for us. And I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, and we are going to start and jump right into it. So 3, 2, 1, play. Episode 1 of Planet of the Slave Girls. And we're going through the credits right now, and this is some big random red planet. Oh, Roddy McDowell. Do you know who Roddy McDowell is?
No, the only Roddy I know is Roddy Piper.
So Roddy McDowell is a famous old-time actor. He was very famous in many, many movies. Probably the most probably the most mainstream one most people would know maybe from a later generation would probably be Fright Night, the original Fright Night movie, if you've ever heard of that.
I have heard of it. I know they made a shitty remake with Colin Farrell, I want to say in the mid-2000s.
Yes, the original is really, really good. So for those of you that have never seen Fright Night, go see Roddy McDowell in it. And of course, we also have Jack Palance. What do you think about Jack Palance being in this?
I knew it's going to be awesome when you see him. I've only seen him in the first Batman, and I thought he was great in that. And
all right, go ahead.
No, I was just saying how great he was and how it kicks off with Buck. Seems to be already spitting game to Wilma.
So, yeah, they're randomly flying through the universe. I guess they're on a patrol with the hot-ass ship, which, by the way, Scott, you know I purchased one of these ships and have them hanging up in my office right now.
Yeah, Sean, I think you might have to start maybe sharing this on your Twitter account of how great your, I guess your Sean cave is. It has action figures, world title belts. It's amazing.
It's actually my office, and I've decorated my office. Today I purchased, so I have the Buck Rogers ship, and today I purchased a Draconian ship to go with it. But back to this episode, they just went through the Stargate, going back to Earth under patrol, and Buck gets travel sick while Wilma laughs at him.
Which, Sean, that brings up a question. When I saw this, they called it a Stargate. Was Stargate out yet?
Like, oh, no, Stargate no. The movie didn't come out until the 80s. But okay. This is their like Stargate from going from space back in. It's kind of like the gate is their travel pathway to the Earth. It's kind of their defense gate. And now we have a random fighter ship being chased down by the pirates, and he looks very, very ill, very similar to the space COVID we saw in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I thought we were getting like a part two with the space COVID. I mean, since Glenn Larson is the brains behind Battlestar and Buck Rogers, I can see him, you know, just being like, this worked once. Let's see if I can, you know, lightning can strike twice.
So Buck and Wilma fly on to this patrol of three ships, and this one fighter pilot's in trouble. Being chased by the pirates, the Draconian ships, which I just mentioned, I just purchased one today. And Buck and Wilma are getting involved to help this pilot. Obviously, he has a commander in another ship, but Buck and Wilma took it upon himself to get involved to help this pilot. And Buck and Wilma are jacking each other off, giving each other credit for what they just did by saving this pilot. Whereas the commander, Duke, his name is Duke, and yes. He's kind of a dick.
there's no kind of to it, Sean. He is a complete and utter prick this whole time.
Yeah, so he's ahead of the squadron. He's pissed off that Buck has come into this situation, and Buck notices that the pilot's probably not feeling too good. You don't look too good. And the leader, Duke, basically tells Buck, hey, I appreciate your concern, but maybe fuck next off. Time, fuck off and stay out of my training missions. And Buck, of course, is getting all shitty. It basically tells him, to fuck off right back.
Yeah, he says fucking wagnalls, which I was like, is that them trying to get around the F word?
So anyway, they challenge each other to a fight in the hangar, and Wilma's smiling because she's hot, but yet she's a bitch and looks forward to seeing these two macho men fight, which ends up being interesting because this turns her on, and you find out later that her and Duke had a previous relationship. Yeah, and look at this guy with his hair running out of his ship, running over to his pilot and giving him shit.
He's just like such an asshole to him.
Yeah, I'd say, I don't care if you're sick, mother F fucker. How dare you be sick on this mission? He's a real dick.
And then like Buck comes over because, you know, he has to be in everyone's business, and they catch this kid as he's about to like fall out. And that's where we meet like Buck and Duke basically try to have a dick measuring contest right now.
And Duke basically wants to find out. We find out here that all his students are sick. So again, we're going down this sickness with pilots. Again, maybe Glenn A. Larson was maybe he was creative corrupt at this point and had to figure out like this was a good jumping on point. And of course, Buck and Duke are going at it. Wilma walks in and
she's looking smoking, Sean.
Oh Jesus,
looking damn good.
So hot. She's basically telling Duke to, hey, you need to settle down because basically Buck saved your ass.
Yeah. Like we see his name, like, and then Duke's like, you're Buck Rogers? And Buck, smart ass, goes, since the day I was born. God, he's such a smart ass.
And he basically says, I beg your pardon, Wilma, this is no captain. And basically just, you know, and then Duke's shitting on Buck to climb in to join the defense council. And calls him a big, brave hot shot and just totally shitting all over Buck.
Yeah, it was. And then, like, you know, Wilma's trying to defuse the situation, says that Buck should host one of, like, the combat training seminars that, you know, Duke holds. And Duke's like, that's ridiculous.
And then Wilma pulls rank on him and basically says, you're going to do what I tell you, because she outranks Duke, which is clearly a problem for Duke. Taking orders from a woman, obviously, is a problem for him.
I don't know. That look she gave him, she can tell me what to do whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if she pulls rank on me anytime. She could pull more than my rank, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, go ahead.
I do love Buck as Wilma's walking away. Don't forget drinks, my place, 1900. And yeah, then Wilma's like, I'll be there. I'm like, dang, all right, Buck.
So basically he does this in front of Duke to shove up Duke's ass that he's going to possibly tag her later on this afternoon or evening. And then, of course, Duke pissed off. He slaps the ship as he walks away. Great. So tell us about Regis. Like, what are your thoughts on it? So here we got Regis, the pilot that was sick, laying and just kind of moaning to himself about just random stupid shit. But he's clearly sick with some kind of sickness.
Well, he looks about all of 12 years old. So I'm like, why are they letting these little kids fly the ships?
He does look 12 years old. You are correct.
And I was, and you know, he's kind of acting like a little bit of a bitch. Just, you know, give him a Gatorade. He'll be fine.
So it's Dr. Hewer and Wilmer in here, and basically, his nerves are controlling. He says his condition's deteriorating just like all the others. And this is when we finds out that there's a lot of public general health out there that hasn't really been made public yet. But there's 25,000 cases in New Chicago of people being sick. And it started 3 days ago, apparently, while Wilma and Buck were gone on some kind of mission, probably banging out in outer space for 3 days for all we know.
I mean, 25,000 in 3 days, that's pretty crazy. So, like, I know we've seen it in the past year, but, like, also maybe Wilma and the doctor should be wearing, like, I don't know, some hazmat equipment. She literally touched his face and it's like, are you trying to catch this too?
Yeah, I feel like they're not bringing, like, you remember we talked about that doctor in Battlestar bringing his Oscar or his Emmy nominated game. I feel like these two are just kind of going through the motions and how they're reacting to this possible disease. Oh, and that here's the doctor we got.
Yes, I love this doctor. He is amazing, like, just giving no shits. The computer is, like, saying, like, because every time he asks a rhetorical question, say, you're wasting my time. And he's like, you're saying that because you don't know the answer either. They're basically, like, just playing off of each other. And I'm like, damn, like, all
right. What do you think about this blonde assistant sitting there?
She's pretty hot. You might have to add her to the harem.
I might. We'll get to that later. So this is Dr. Mallory. His assistant is Stella. And of Carl is this computer that is the biggest smartass you'll ever meet. And basically just shits all over Hewer, kind of telling him, I really don't care who you are and why am I meeting you.
Yeah, he straight up says, I find you less than honorable, Dr. Hewer. And Wilma even laughs at that.
Yeah, so basically the doctor is trying to find, you know, one, what's the source and a cure for what's making the folks sick. And he says it's some kind of biological agent. And then he shows them the source right there, which is a food disc. So we find out that what this really is a form of space food poisoning from a food disc.
Yes, and, you know, I don't want to live in the 25th century if what they have to eat is basically like a Nilla wafer. So yeah, no thanks.
That is a terrible thing. Like, why would you eat that? So, and this is really gross. Like, he sprinkles this shit on it that detects disease, and it gets all red and gross. And basically what they're talking about, they're contaminated food discs, and then they talk about, like, these discs come from a planet that apparently they have this planet in the solar system that's all growing all their protein agriculture, I guess is what you call it, or vegetation.
Yeah, they actually say soy later in the episode, and we find out that, like, the pilots can heal from being sick, but they aren't able to fly for a little bit. I guess they're still woozy and they can't.
Yeah, it has long term
their motor functions
like
yeah.
COVID, right? It almost like long term effects. So. Stella, of course, gives an evil look, which, you know, something shady with her, which we'll see later. And basically he's talking about that him and Carl will find a cure for this. And now we're going to the training session. This is my favorite scene in the whole this show, one of them. We're going to a training session with Duke and his cadets, and Buck Rogers teaching them their 20th century fighting skills. And he's teaching them talking about football, which I thought was pretty good. I mean, if you're going to talk strategy and attacking and things like that, I thought football was probably a good way to do it.
Yeah, and then I like how he's like, well, in football, you want to go after the brains of the operation. And Duke, being a smart ass, said, are we talking about a football or brain surgery? What is it?
Yeah, and then he says, and then you're going to red dog it. And, of course, I thought raw dog.
I thought that too, Sean. Yeah. But also, I know you're not the biggest sports fan. I had never heard of the term red dogging. I think he meant blitz, and, like, I'd never heard that term
before. Well, this is 1979, so.
Yes.
But I like how he's using a football, like, kind of guideline here and a map to show them. The cadets are kind of shitting all over him. This one girl in the middle is super, super hot, laughing at him. And, of course, Duke is shitting just all over him while he's teaching them this and making fun of him.
And I stand corrected, Sean. You are correct. That was a term because I just Googled red dogging, and it said to carry out a blitz. So I was wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, basically, Duke and Buck goes, would you like to see a demonstration of a sack? And Duke, of course, is going to volunteer, and he just stands there like a moron. And they're surrounded by all these shells with helmets and costumes and maps and strategy maps. So this is funny. So Buck's talking about a tackle looks like this, and he jumps off the stage and rams freaking Duke into a bunch of shit. What's really funny about this, though, a whole fight starts here. And what's funny is if you watch these guys charge each other and sack each other, it's very clear that the two actors doing it are not the actors that are, like, you clearly see the face of the stunt doubles in this.
Yeah, especially the one for Buck. He looks about maybe 20 pounds lighter.
Yeah, so, again, they're 20 pounds lighter. They look nothing like him, and they don't really try to hide the faces of the stunt doubles.
No.
I mean, this is worse casting than when they did the doubles on Lost Planet of the Gods when they were walking the planet. This is clearly, clearly very, very bad.
Oh, yes. But I love how they're just straight up tackling each other, and, like, they're just tearing up the room, and then we see our boy, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Tweaky.
Tweaky walking around, and they're like, is that Buck making that noise? And they're like, no, it's not Buck making the noise. If they're like, oh, it's Buck. And, you know, we're about to get to it, but I'm kind of shocked with this. Buck is the one that ends up on his, like, you know, crow at the end of this. But
I've enjoyed this whole thing because it sets up the tension between him and Duke. I think this is a fun little thing to be doing in front of the cadets. I appreciate the fighting, and this is kind of like the good-spirited, fun nature of Buck Rogers that you don't necessarily get in Battlestar.
Yeah, a lot more laughter. I think we had more laughter in the scene than we've had in all of Battlestar.
Yeah, this is a real fun scene. And now he just shoved Buck in a shell full of helmets, and Buck's laying on the ground with the shelf on top of him.
And Duke even says, I've learned enough today. And he said, that's it. It just leaves him underneath the shelving.
And, of course, Tweaky walks over to Buck. And basically, Theopolis shits all over Buck about 2 grand men fighting and tells him he's disgusting. And then Buck's like, no, we were just giving a demonstration. And of course, Tweaky's going, beady, beady, beady. Buck's like, that's easy for you to say. So I love this whole scene. This is great.
Me too. And I'm getting the ad break, Sean.
I am. So what did you think? So we're probably like 12 minutes into the open. What do you think of the open?
It's a pretty hot opening. Well, you know, we got one mystery with, like, the space food poisoning, which we thought was space COVID at first. We actually introduced another male character that's around Buck's age instead of just, like, these old people or, you know, Twiggy and not robots. So it's nice to see, you know, that going on.
Yeah, and I kind of like that, to your point, we open up. They're kind of just him and Wilma are going back and forth flying through space. You have this random space patrol training thing that's gone south with the pirates. They introduce Regis, who is not, I'm not a fan of. You get introduced to Duke as a prime kind of like sparring partner for Buck. And they give you, there's an insinuation there that there's something going on between him and Wilma back in the past. Obviously, there's something there with her pulling rank on him. Then you have Carl, the doctor, and I'm back from commercial, are you?
I'm still on commercial right now.
I will pause it. So I thought it was a pretty hot opening, a fun opening, and kind of sets the stage we're going to see. I still don't really understand truly that I'm 15 minutes into the show now, and I don't understand what Planet of the Slave Girls have to do with anything we're watching so far.
Yeah, it's definitely like I thought we would get that within like the first 5 minutes, but that wasn't the case with this.
Yeah, and when you're watching this, like, your first 15 minutes, you're thinking, okay, this is a lot like Battlestar was in their first, like, that last watch we had. It's very, very similar, except instead of space COVID, it's poison food discs.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Are you back yet?
No, I've had 5 commercial shots.
Interesting. There must be some kind of tier. Maybe I have, like, Tubi Prime or something like that.
Yeah, you must have the Tubi Prime where you pay $2.50 a month.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
For 2 commercials.
Yeah, we talked about the commercials on this channel are weird. Like, random parts of the day you get no commercials, and then others you get, like, 20. So, but anyway, so are you back yet?
I am finally back, yes.
All right, so you have this big... What do you think of the outside buildings they show in this show?
I know you probably never saw this, Sean, but it kind of reminds me of Power Rangers for some reason. I don't know why, but it just does. Like, that's how they would show the exterior for sometimes in Power Rangers.
Yeah, I got news for you. Power Rangers started when I was still somewhat of a young man. So
I know. That's why I said you probably, yeah.
All right, so we're back with the doctor and Stella and talking about what, you know, the cure, and they need to do something. Well, Stella now reveals herself as the doctor leaves that she is not a good person. And Carl is freaking out. Estella is planning a night. I guess she's planning some kind of bomb to blow Carl up because she doesn't want Carl to find out what's stopping this. And of course, Carl's freaking out. I'm in danger right before. Uh-oh.
I did love that. I'm in danger. Someone please help. And it said, too late. Goodbye, Mallory.
Yeah, like he says goodbye to Mallory and then he blows up. And by the way, this computer is... Have you ever seen the movie War Games?
Yes.
Yeah, so this reminds me of the computer in War Games. And now that he's blown up, now we're in Buck's apartment where they're doing training moves. And Buck's trying to get his groove on. Oh, by the way, that wasn't Buck that just got flipped over by Wilma either.
No, it wasn't.
So, but it looked like Buck's trying to get his groove on. And Wilma's like doing foreplay, doing jiu-jitsu or judo on him.
Yeah, because she said they're teaching judo. But, you know, because that's taught in, like, I think your 3rd or 4th day at NASA. I'm going to know soon.
I will tell you, though, when Wilma smiles and laughs hysterically, she gives me Stephanie McMahon vibes a little bit.
Is that a good thing?
Well, it depends. There's times where Stephanie's really, really hot, but then she does the crinkled nose face, and it's really, really disturbing. I find when Wilma laughs hysterically, I'm not a big fan. It disturbs me a little bit, to be perfectly honest. But she is smoking hot. I mean, she's just... Buck's all sore from his fight with Duke, so he's sitting gingerly on his ass. And she randomly looks at a picture from Buck that he has, and, you know, they kind of allude to something, but they really don't go back on it. Like, you don't really know what it is.
Well, they mentioned this in, like, you know, the first couple episodes we watched, that he had a girl that he wanted to marry.
Yes.
So, I think it might have been her. And he actually does say something kind of sweet. She says she's beautiful, and he said, you should have seen her on the inside. So, it's like, damn, Buck, you're usually like a horn dog, so...
So now Dr. Hugh is calling. He's looking for Wilma. I really like the outside shots here. I'd love to know where these buildings were shot because they do look very futuristic. And they're real buildings, so I would love to know where it's really at. So now walk in. So go ahead. So they walk in.
I was just saying, me too. And, like, you know, I will say Wilma's ass looking a little fat in that jumpsuit. That's all I'm saying.
It could be as fat as it wants. And so they walk into the doctor's office. Obviously, Carl is dead, and... Now they know, of course, that the assistant Stella is a traitor, and they've put the efforts to find a cure for the food disc out weeks, and obviously makes the Earth quite defenseless. So Buck is trying to listen in, but Hewer here reminds him that you refused our offer on a defense document and kind of get the step in.
Yeah, but then, like, doesn't even make him leave the room, just to, like, turn your back.
And look at Hewer and Wilma smiling at each other, like, she's got the most seductive smile. And when she doesn't open her mouth, she's fine. When she opens her mouth wide, it's very, very disturbing. I'm just saying it. Anyway.
And this is actually where we find out that that's where the food comes from, the planet. It's a planet called Vistola. Am I saying that correctly?
I think Vistola, yes. And they're talking about all the food dicks come from Vistola. And then I believe you find out, yeah, there it is, Vistola. And then Buck goes, what's Vistola? Because... he can't stop from interfering. And then he jumps in here, and of course he decides to join the directorate right here because he can't keep his nose out of the business.
Yeah, he just, you know, which doesn't really make much sense if they're just going to have him join 20 minutes in after turning it down at the end of last episode. But hey, whatever, man.
Well, bear in mind, the movie, they didn't know where they were going to go, so they had to fix that plot hole for the series, obviously. So, but they talk about much of the vegetable protein for the Earth is grown on Vestibula, and they have, and there's Stella flying to Vestibula, and she's in contact with a warden, and she's going towards the desert here, and this is where we get our first glimpse and look of the Cave of Kalil.
Yeah, the Cave of Kalil. That sounds pretty familiar, Sean. Hey, Sean, what's Superman's real name again?
Kal-El.
Yeah.
So tell me, so Kalil is Jack Palance. He was amazing, and I love his voice. His voice is really, like, I mean, it's just kind of haunting. And here he's got this, he's in this white robe with this jewels around here. He's almost like a glorified Jesus Christ preacher figure, and all these people here follow him.
What I love is, like, he's acting, like, he's just chewing up the scenery, like this doctor that we saw. And I love it. Like, and you see, like, this one guy that they keep showing seems pretty disinterested, which is going to come and be important sooner rather than later.
Well, he knows Khalil's kind of full of shit. He's basically talking about how the Earth wants to take their food and their product, and the Earth needs to be destroyed, and there are enemies among us, he senses, and those that are weak and faithless. So it's like, people that don't believe in Khalil's cause, and he plays these people. Like, yeah. He uses them for a purpose.
But he's a charlatan.
He is a pure charlatan, but he is a bad, bad man. And the thing is with Kalil that we find out later, he feeds off emotions, and his hands have this power. It's like a sorcery kind of mutant ability that he feeds off emotions, and he has power that he could put people down with his hands and kill them.
Yeah, and I love how he, like, is using fear-mongering, and, like, this woman screams, "My husband, he speaks about against you in the dead of night."
So, and, I feel like you would really have to really, really hate your husband to throw him under the bus like this.
Oh, 1,000%. She was just looking for a way out and found it.
What do you think of his little right-hand admiral or whatever he is with his mustache and bowl cut and his big red costume? Looks like a soldier in the... in the Civil War.
Yeah, he looks like the guy from Clue, the Colonel Mustard from Clue. That's what he looks like to me.
And what do you think of these random followers that are dressed like they're in like their Little Caesar or Cleopatra era?
I just love it because before, like with the first couple of episodes, we saw like they were supposed to be like, you know, like they looked like warriors from like, you know, from China or something. And now we see like these people dressed up, supposed to be like monks. And like we see, you know, Jack Palance's arm, hands glowing, and like his wife, the dude's wife is just like, just let him kill him. And then
yeah, like he touches this guy in the head and he dies instantaneously. And
yeah, he touches him like on his they all have basically headbands, look like they're metallic.
Yeah.
And he kills him, and then like his followers are like, "Kalil, Kalil."
Yeah, and the poor guy is crying for help from his wife, and she's sitting there chaining Khalil, too.
She deserves whatever bad things happen to her.
I know, but like, and so these guys, obviously, I told you, he's some kind of Jesus Christ figure with them. And, you know, I got to say, the special effects with his hands turning red, pretty badass for 1979 TV.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that they were able to pull that off, to be honest.
Yeah, so now we have Khalil back, and he's tasked, you know, Stella is obviously Khalil's woman. And it was her job to make sure that the Earth's defenses were down, and the director, he says the director's no different than any set of people, and as long as the leader exists. So this is where he says, basically, we need to take out Dr. Huer, because if we take out their leader, they're really going to be defenseless.
Yep, and Stella, who's also is like, he's about to be taken out. And Sean...
This might be I lied. This is probably my favorite scene. So, the earlier scene was great. This is great. This is awesome. I love this shit right here.
So we basically see a guy dressed up. Well, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but someone carrying like this triangular metallic disc, and like they open it up and it turns out to be like a boomerang that they put some type of liquid on to like.
Yeah, but like it's a blade, right? So it's a space boomerang. I didn't really understand what the liquid was on it. But I assume this was meant to take Dr. Huer's head off.
Yes. And like you see Wilma, Dr. Huer, and Buck talking. And also this assassin is just dressed basically like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. So, like, all in black, so you're not supposed to see who it is. I'm sure that would be a big reveal next episode. But
so, yeah, he's watching Buck and Hewer and Wilma walk through the garden as they talk about going to the planet Vistula. And they talk about Regis, who's the son of the governor there, and they could take him there to recover, and they could kind of do a joint, you know, kind of drive there together and kind of get onto the planet. And then Buck, of course, because NASA taught you super sleuth skills and great hearing, here's something wrong, and here's this assassin in the grass, and the boomerang gets thrown, and Buck knocks him down. And I got to tell you what, that boomerang throw, the special effects on that are freaking amazing.
Sean, I want to know how Buck, who's been around for like 5 days now, knows about these space-ass boomerangs and is like, get down.
I told you, NASA teaches you how to dance, NASA teaches you how to do karate, and they teach you how to have secret stealth hearing. And I love Buck in his stance. Like, look at his karate stance as he looks around. This is pathetic.
Yeah, Buck's in the, like hunched over and has his karate hands ready just so he could chop anyone down. That's where I'm taking my moves from. Like, Sean, when we see each other, you're just going to see me karate chopping people like I'm Buck.
I think when we greet each other, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm going to stand like Buck and like look cautious, and then I'm going to duck and run down onto the ground because I'm afraid someone's throwing a boomerang at me.
I'm going to do the same thing.
But you got to admit, this is pretty cool with the assassin being set up, and you got to admit, this boomerang weapon is pretty badass.
It is, and I'm going to be totally honest. I thought we were going to see a fight where Buck takes on the assassin, but the boomerang gets stuck in the tree, and the assassin gets away.
Yeah, I when I saw this assassin, I thought, oh, you know, this would make a great Marvel character, a Marvel supervillain, because honestly, you don't see the assassin ever again after this.
Oh, okay. Well, damn.
And then Buck looks at the boomerang stuck in a tree and says they don't make them like they used to. I really enjoyed that scene. I absolutely thought that was hysterical. I love the assassin trying to kill Hewer. And I'm a big, big fan of the boomerang. I loved it. Thought it was great.
And we see worthless-ass Regis being, like, pushed away. Like, he's finally in his own bubble. But, like, he looks like he's damn near death.
Yeah, and they say he'll be feeling better by the time he gets to Vistula. And Hewer says, I talked to his father, the governor. They're looking forward to having you, and so they're getting ready to set out on their way to Vistula. And then they said, did you manage to get these going away presents? So they gave them going away presents where I guess the wristbands will detect any poison that is in the food that might be served to them, I think is what it is.
Yes, any poison, and also a tracking device for each of them. And I do love that Tweaky is a little pissed off because the doctor had him up working all night, and it says that his wires are frayed because he didn't get any sleep.
Yeah, these computer council guys are real kind of stuck up little pricks. Like Carl, obviously came from the same mold. They're all dicks.
Yeah, they're all dicks. Like you know what they remind me of, Sean? I know you're not gonna like this, but in Green Lantern they have Guardians.
Yes.
And it reminds me of the little blue guardians that are assholes and are supposed to be omniscient and better than everyone else.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so now we find out that Duke is going to be one of the co-pilots that go with him and Wilma along with another female pilot. So they continue to add Duke to this to kind of stir the pot between him and Duke.
Yep. And then, like, you know, you find out Buck starts asking these questions about Wilma and, like, you know, basically let Duke hit that. That's what it boils down to.
Yes, correct. So now they're all flying. Wilma and Buck, I guess, are flying the shuttle. And then obviously Duke and his lady friend or lady pilot are following them. And Wilma's basically saying, Buck, you need to give him a chance. And Buck's kind of like no-selling it, saying, I did too. Wilma's really digging this whole macho, they don't like each other thing. I think it's turning her on.
It really is. She's like, oh, these men are fighting over me. You know, hearts are fluttering.
And this is where you find out how long her and Duke have known each other, and she plays coy, kind of trying to throw off why they're no longer together. And Buck, of course, being Super Buck and the sleuth PI NASA trainee that he is, deducts that it's because she became a supervisor and he's a woman. And he's like shaking his head, like Buck is Mr. Morality. He doesn't understand why people, you know, why would you have a problem with woman being in command? Like Buck's a real stand-up dude here.
Yeah, he's way ahead of his time for 1987, so good for you, Buck.
Yeah, I wish we had Buck in 2021, because Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Yeah. So now they're approaching the planet of vegetable protein. Wilma talks about the whole planet is for that. And then, of course, Buck. I don't know how Buck sees this from outer space, but this is a big, huge planet, and he just sees this random desert. That just happens to be where, you know, Khalil ends up being. So it's weird that they go to the planet, but the planet's, like, huge. I assume as big as Earth, but they kind of condense it to where it's more like a city than a planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I love, he's like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's a desert. It's like, how the hell do you see that, Buck? Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
NASA give you supervision, too?
All right, so Stella looking pretty hot in that outfit, by the way.
Stella is kind of giving me some Sensational Sherry vibes since she turned heel. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and she looks a little older, but she's kind of, I would say she's kind of MILFy, maybe? Would that be? Right?
On the precipice of it.
Yeah, on the precipice of MILFy. And so basically just walked in, and they're talking about what an idiot the governor is. And then Stella finds out that the assassin failed in her attempt to fail Hewer, and he is not happy, Khalil. By the way, I think Khalil's a pretty badass name. I know it's like Kal-El, but I like the name Khalil. I think it fits his character really, really well.
Yeah, and you see, like, the cracks right here where he's like, you know, they might know the food's being processed here is being poisoned, and I'm getting an ad right now.
I am starting an ad, too, and Stella, as we go to break, Stella stares at Khalil with the same eyes that Wilma stares at Buck with.
Yep.
All right, so we are halfway through this episode. So what do you think so far, Scott?
I'm enjoying it. It's business is finally picking up. You can definitely tell this is a two-parter because they are saving like the best for last for the last 15, 20 minutes of it. That's where the story finally starts moving. I mean, it did move with like we saw the assassin, which, Sean, I'm pissed off now that we never see him again. But that person, again, I don't know if it's a he or she, but I'm really interested to see what happened. They seem a little nonplussed that Dr. Hewer was threatened to be assassinated. Like, everyone just went along with business as usual. Like,
yeah, it's like, oh, no big deal. It's kind of like when Starbuck almost died in Battlestar. Nobody really gave a shit.
They got married. They had a marriage.
Yeah. And by the way, Starbuck, a much more likable character than Dr. Hewer. Dr. Hewer is kind of a stick in the mud kind of guy. I'm not a real big fan of his.
Oh, no, he's definitely, like, I don't know what he's supposed to be, but he ain't it.
Yeah, he's a doctor, but apparently he's head of the Defense Directorate, so I don't necessarily know what makes him a doctor.
Me either.
So, anyway.
I don't know what makes anyone anything in this new world, so.
Well, so based on what we've watched so far, so we've watched 5 episodes of Battlestar. We're in the middle of episode 3 of Buck. So I think you kind of got a feel for both shows at this point, because what you're seeing with Buck is kind of like what each episode will be like a little bit. What do you find to be the most fun watch so far of what you've been watching with these two shows?
I'm going to go with Buck, and it's not just because of recency bias. It's because it's more lighthearted, and I don't feel the doom and gloom of Battlestar Galactica that I feel with Battlestar Galactica.
All right, so here's the other question. What show is more fun to make fun of?
Battlestar.
Okay, and why is Battlestar more fun to make fun of than this show?
Because they're taking themselves serious and Buck isn't.
So I like, to your point, right? So over on Battlestar, you know, they take the whole religion thing really, really far. And here, you know, they have this Jesus Christ figure named Khalil, but they don't take it too seriously. And they show him kind of behind the scenes being kind of a charlatan that's just there to, you know, create slaves and things like that. And you're right. It's for me, I find it more entertaining, more lighthearted to watch.
Yeah, and like, you know, I paused it, by the way, because mine came back.
But, I'm back.
Okay, all right. But also, like, another thing that's great about this is, like, this is more colorful than the Battlestar,
yeah, the scenery's good. It's colorful. I'm now where they're eating dinner with the governor. Are you there?
Yeah, and he's pretty useless, to be
honest.
Yeah,
he looks, he's dressed like Sinbad. with his turban on, and his son Regis next to him, and it looks like they're sitting in lawn chairs. Like, they went to Kmart and bought some lawn chairs and put at this table, and his little guy sitting next to him looks like a little Weasley dickhead.
Oh, yeah, you knew off the bat that he was a prick, just from Jump Street.
Yeah, they don't go out of their way to kind of hide who the dickheads are. They want it to be perfectly obvious in this show.
Yep, and the guy, and like Buck even like says something that's like, yeah, we're about to get to it. It's like, if looks could kill, we'd be necrophiliacs.
Yeah, Buck calls stuff out. It's pretty funny. And by the way, this governor, that is Roddy McDowell. He's a complete and utter idiot and has no clue what's going on. Regis and this slave girl here have the hots for each other, which, again, is another plot point that they just dropped on us.
Yeah, they're definitely flirting, and, like, it's funny. The governor is like, I've been doing great. I've had 3 appointments. And they're like, they're all the food people always want to check and double check, and they're like, eat up, and like pilots don't want to eat, and they're like, where'd the food come from? And they're like, Dyson's like, oh, so not from here, and Buck just starts eating. And the governor's like, I quickly tire of soy products.
Yeah, and the governor basically shits on all the protocols and oversee and all the things that he has that oversees his food production, so he's not real happy about that. And look at them all cautiously eating because they're afraid they're going to shit themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be terrified too. But, like, you know, their buzzer should go off if they have it. So
anyway, the guy says that, you know, part of the governor's salary is he gets to eat different food. And then the governor gives him shit saying that you act like they're food spies, which they kind of are a little bit. But these guys are asking a bunch of questions that the governor's assistant clearly isn't happy with.
Yeah, he definitely knows they're up to something.
Yeah, and he talks about, like, they don't have any robots, and they have all humans and women. And they say, you know, they're all slaves, and it's practical. And they talk about the inhabitants of Sea of the Stone, which is where Khalil's at, make better people, basically slaves. And Buck's about giving them shit. It's like, you force these people to work and purchase them, and the governor calls those people uncivilized nomads. And Buck, here we go. Mr. Morrill again is getting all pissed off.
Yeah, and he goes, a man named Khalil. So you find out Khalil gathers a group of people together and sells them to the manager. And, I mean, yeah, to the governor. And he says a very satisfactory arrangement. He's like, it's slavery. And someone says, what is slavery? And it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you made the African-American actress say that.
Yeah, how bad taste was that?
Jesus,
you know what,
Christ.
You know what I really don't understand is they obviously have to have some records of history, et cetera, et cetera. So one, they didn't know what football was. I mean, listen, I'm not a football fan. At least I know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And then they don't even know what slavery is. And to your point, it really seemed a bad taste to have the African American female ask that question. Like, that's really, I'm sure it wasn't done on purpose, but in today's world, that really seems like a bad thing to have. You know, it doesn't seem good.
Yep. I agree. And then, like, you know, the slave girl accidentally spills water on Buck, and the governor is like, they're human. They make mistakes. She should go to the fields. And
yeah, he this guy's a straight-up prick from the 1800s is what
yeah.
he is.
And then, you like, Regis, like, even gets, you know, uppity with his dad and says, some people have talked to you about not having slaves. And, like, so, you know, Regis, they're trying to make sure that Regis is, like, a good person as well.
All right, this is a fun scene right here. So, did we catch the name of the slave girl yet?
No, because you know what they call her? They even call her slave girl when they're talking to her.
Yeah, so Buck is taking a bath. Like, they got him in a set up quarters. He's got this big, huge bath tub in the middle of his room, and she's bringing him in towels. And he's totally butt naked singing to himself.
Yeah, it's incredibly weird. He's like, my singing that bad? And she's like, no, I have to talk to you. There's someone outside trying to listen. And, you know, the music should cover, which is like that weird syntho rock that they played before.
Yeah, like, I thought Buck here was like, oh, I'm naked in my tub. Like, I thought here Buck was going to put the music on. But Buck and he is a really, really good guy. Like, he has a good heart, and he's asking her questions, and she's providing info for him about her people. She's worried about her people and the Khalil's followers. And then she basically says what everybody already knows at this point, that the governor is a fool. But then she also says that Regis's son is a fantastic individual, and this is where Buck basically says, you want to fuck him, don't you?
Yeah, but it's funny because she's like, you have a thing, and she's like, what? And he's like, a crush. And she's like, huh? And it's like, what? But when she said, you were serious about the thing about slavery, so she understands what slavery is, but not what a damn crush is. And this time Buck gets out of the water.
And he's got a very hairy ass. Like, yeah. You don't see his ass, but you see the hair that leads down to his ass, and I feel like that was a missed opportunity to maybe shave Buck's back.
Yeah, he definitely should have shaved. And Sean, you've told me before that Buck gets fat as the season goes on.
Yes.
He looks to be in somewhat decent shape right here. So,
well, he is in decent shape. I will tell you in season two. There is
it's
clear,
season two. Okay.
Yeah, it's not till season two. We get to season two. Yes. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
And so, this is where we find out that Khalil feeds off, like, the energy of the crowd. And he's like a sorcerer or something. And she said, oh, he could be a mutant, call him one, but he can mesmerize a crowd with just his words.
Yeah.
And he Buck's like, how have you fallen that spell? And she's like, I've escaped. So has my brother. But my brother's dead. I'm like, dang, you're talking about your brother being dead. Awfully decent.
Yeah, it was last week. He was talking about the processing plant he was in. And then he was going to go meet up. And again, that's when he was murdered that night.
Yep. But I love when it comes out where it's like the slave girl was supposed to be his for the night. It's like, damn, all right, Governor. I didn't know you were like that.
Yeah, basically he was sending her to be a hooker. So, which leads me to believe that she's had to do this before for other people. So she is basically, she has prostituted herself before, apparently.
Yep. And then Buck goes, I got a reputation to uphold too.
Yeah, so basically he wants her to stay in his room because he wants to make sure that people think he's a cocksmith, right? To leave him in the room. And now he bailed out the window to leave her in there. He's going to this facility, this plant. And again, we get a real life building here, which is really great next to Battlestar where you see all the fake stuff. I don't know where they filmed this, but at least you get a building that randomly looks like it could be a food plant. And this is not Buck as well running.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, Sean. I was like, do you think that was Buck that hopped over, you know, like the exhaust, yeah. I guess. And then he didn't climb the ladder either. He definitely was like extra.
I just find it so odd. They don't hide their faces at all.
I guess they didn't think like the TV resolution would be that good 30 years from now. So 40 years from now. So.
So Buck has infiltrated the plant and all these workers are there and he's trying to be incognito because basically what he's looking for is to find out the source of what they're putting in the food so he can send it back to Earth for the doctor to have as a cure is what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's like not too
incognito. Look at that, right there, that's not him. Look at the face.
Yeah, can't even. Ugh.
It's crazy. That is, but I mean, I'm telling you, it's so weird.
Doing the simplest shit he can't even do.
And obviously the 70s hair makes me laugh too still. He's still got 1970s bowl cut hair. All right, so Buck's running through one of the packages to see if he can find anything. And this random worker walks up to him. And now we get to go. Here we go. Got a big, huge fight starting. And this is where Gil Gerard, Buck Rogers, is replaced by a stunt double for the next 2 minutes.
But like, all right, so.
Did you see that Ric Flair shot? They just did a Ric Flair chop on Buck. That was great.
Yes. And I love how like he is. Instead of climbing up like the ladder, like he tries to like he does it as softly as he can.
Oh my god, it's like such a like it's not even it's like so obvious it's not him. It's hysterical. And oh, there he is with his karate stance while these evil men surround him.
Yep, and about to knock him off the railing. Oh he can't even take a bump. He's like Triple H in 2002 where he's always got to get over.
I like how it's like a wrestling move where they have all the boxes there set up for the big spot.
Yeah.
And then this poison falls out. And look at that. Buck Rogers with a Van Damminator to the fucking
He actually does have a nice caressing kick. I think he might have already done it. Damn it.
So now we know that NASA teaches you to be karate. He teaches you acrobatics. And they teach you how
it's
to
not even Buck running. It's not even Buck running right there when you see his face. It's not even him.
So great, so bad. Ugh. All right, so now we're back at the governor's quarters, and Wilma's randomly walking the halls, and she's going over to Buck's quarters, but Rima, who is the name of the slave girl, has been cornered by the governor's guy, and they're asking her where Buck's at, so the gig is kind of up at this point, I think.
Yep, and they're about to kill her, and, you know, this is where we find out her name is Rima, all right, Rima. Finally, like, we finally get her name. I've just been calling her slave girl the whole time.
Yeah, Regis wants to bust a Rima.
I wouldn't mind busting a Rima either.
Yeah, Rima's very, very pretty. This guy gives me the creeps, man, with his curly hair. And he just, like, it's kind of like Baltar. Like, the villains in these shows, they just look naturally like they'd be assholes in real life.
Yeah, they look like real pieces of shit. So, like, we find out that, you know, this guy's been working for Kal-El, and he's going to take her to Kal-El and make her talk, and, you know, Wilma's like, I gotta run.
I also like the costumes on this show quite a bit as well.
Yeah, it's like, it's just so much more color than, like, you know, the everything is like we talk about how great Battlestar's like fighter pilot stuff is, but even that's like brown and like tan and these boring ass colors. Like, this girl's like, Slave Girl's wearing orange, Wilma wore like a turquoise jumpsuit, now's wearing like a maroon jumpsuit.
Yeah, the woman in Fashion Game in this show is fantastic, by the way. And look at that, the laser beam, and it lit him up pretty good again for 1979 special effects.
Yep, and basically locks him off, and, you know, they're trying to find out, and then, nope, they get kidnapped as well.
So basically, Rhyme is telling Wilma about everything where Buck went, about Khalil, and asshole governor assistant has showed up with this gun that is freaking ridiculously huge.
Yes. But I will say, like, the shot that they had for right before Buck goes back into his house, into the room, looks definitely like it's just like a still painting. Like a still picture.
It's definitely a studio. This is definitely a studio. I do like the little detail, though, of he shut the window behind him. I did like that.
Yeah.
All right, now he's
not trying to catch a cold.
Yeah, but I do. But, you know, I just thought that was a nice little detail. So now they're opening up this shuttle, and Rhyma and Wilma are being sent to the planet. They're being sent to Khalil, to the Sea of Stone, as we're on their way. And basically, Rhyma says to her, there's no escape now. Basically, Wilma, you're going to die. That's what she says.
Like, wow, thanks for that. But Wilma turns on her tracking, which, why didn't we have this on from the beginning?
Yeah, and of course, here comes, and I like, we talked about, like, the dress-up gear. I like that they still have continuity here from the first two episodes, that their dress-up, like, party gear is the same here. So that's nice continuity there.
I love his little sash that he's wearing.
Yeah, and, like pirates we talked about. Yeah. Like pirates.
And I love how, like, Buck says northeast about 3 kilometers, and Duke's like, yeah, I know exactly what that is, but I don't know what football or slavery is, but I know what 3 kilometers is.
So basically, Buck has a sample. They need to ship it to Earth. They're going to go get the other pilot to do that. And then Buck and Duke are going to track Wilma, who's clearly on a shuttle and heading somewhere. So they're going to track her.
Yep. And businesses are picking up.
And I feel like the ships and the scenery in this are almost looking. And again, this is a year after Battlestar, so maybe they had time to update it. It feels more realistic to me. Even though some of it looks fake, it still looks pretty solid for the time frame we're in.
Yep, and we also find out that the other pilot's name is Major Fields, and they're sending Major Fields with the poison. And he says, when you get to Earth, tell here exactly what I told you. And he even says, don't use the Duke says, don't use the radio so no one can hear you.
So what do you think? So we talk a lot about Battlestar's Colonial Warriors outfits. What do you think of the Defense Directorate fighter pilot outfits?
I kind of like it, to be honest. Like, it looks smooth with all the white and, like, you know, the little logo they have on it.
Yeah, I like it too. All right, so now we're here with the governor. Doesn't know where the hell all his guests is, and Regis walks in and basically tells him you're a freaking idiot and about Khalil, and basically tells his dad he's a damn fool.
Yeah, and Regis looks like he's on the verge of tears the whole time. So I have written down in my notes, it looks like Regis is going for his Emmy moment, which, you know, I'm not going to lie, Regis kind of reminds me of Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
Oh, you know what? That's a great value. Great value.
Yeah, great, the greatest of great value.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them doing a Buck Rogers reboot and redoing this episode and him being in this role.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised. Buck Rogers, I'm surprised it's something that hasn't came back. Nostalgia is real big now. You can
They are. They're making a movie with George Clooney in it.
Oh, wow.
Well, they announced it. I don't know where they're at with it, but before COVID, they announced that they were going to do a Buck Rogers in a 25th century movie with George Clooney, which I don't know how I feel about George Clooney at this aspect, but
maybe 10 years ago when he was making the Oceans movies, but I don't know. He feels a little too old now.
All right. So the shuttle's flying through the desert and they're almost there. And so basically, I think this is pretty good scenery with the shuttle. And here's Khalil walking around with Hachi, Milfi, Stella.
Yep. And they're about to be brought here, Wilma and what was her girl's name? I'm a slave girl.
Rhyma.
Rhyma.
Remember, Busta Rhyma.
Yeah, Busta Rhyma are being brought there. And, Khalil tells, you know, Colonel Mustard to, oh, sorry, his name is Gallen.
No, I'll stick with Mustard. I like Mustard. Mustard.
Yeah. Tells Colonel Mustard to do whatever he wants, and he says he's going to employ the power leech. And we're like, what the hell is the power leech?
Look at that smile on his face. He says power leech, and he grins evilly like he just pissed himself.
Yeah, that was a little crazy.
So Buck and Duke are in one ship, and they're following the shuttle. And basically what Khalil's saying, they're going to do the power leech to take down this ship from following them. So this is really interesting because Here, I love how they have
with their Atari screen,
the asteroid Atari visual on a computer. And of course, Duke is losing control with his joystick. I lose control of my joystick all the time. Duke can't control what's happening with his joystick, and his ship is in trouble.
Yeah, and I love how he even says, someone's using a power leech on us, which just sounds so absurd.
I mean, this is great Emmy acting, too, from Duke. Duke's freaking out. Duck's in the back, or Buck is in the back. Duck. So he turns. So freaking Buster turns on the force field. They're heading for a crash. Buck's about to shit himself, and Duke's pulling up, and you see the ship go down, and we're to be continued on that, and that ends episode number 3 of Buck Rogers, Part 1, Planet of the Slave Girls. So, Scott, what did you think?
Loved it, and, like, actually leaving on a cliffhanger where you're like, oh, my God, are they going to die? I'm sure, like, you know, 7 or 8-year-old Sean would have been losing his damn mind when he saw this for the first time. I was like, I got to watch next week. I got to watch next week.
I will tell you, Buck Rogers, I was hooked way before I was Battlestar. And I remember this episode pretty vividly. And I also remember part 2, but mostly for Khalil. But also this part 1 on a cliffhanger, like, holy shit, Buck Rogers just crashed his ship. How the hell is he going to survive this? So now we have to wait 2 more weeks to find out if Buck survives. I guess he has to, since we can't have a Buck Rogers show without Buck Rogers.
Maybe, or they just bring on, you know, Duck Rogers, and you just spoiled it for me with your Freudian slip right there.
Oh, maybe I did with the Duck Rogers. Well, you know, they did do a Duck, like Daffy Duck did play Duck Dodgers in the cartoon. You knew that, right?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, so that's what this is based on. So, but anyway, great episode. Really, really quick, fun watch. I was thoroughly entertained from the assassin to the space food poisoning. Like, they filled a lot of plot into 48 minutes of this episode, like a whole lot.
Yeah, Sean, I'll actually go out on a limb and say this was better than their first couple of episodes.
I would go out on a limb and say I would agree with you. I loved Ardala and everything, but some of the stuff didn't make sense in terms of, you know, some of the things that happened in part 2. But this is a really strong part 1, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
And Jack Palance just chewing up scenery was great.
Yep. So that's it. So we'll be back in 2 weeks to look at Planet of the Slave Girls part 2. Scott, I know I feel like we do plugs every episode, but anything you would like to plug before we go?
Check out the newest edition of Blockbuster Rewind with Major League. That dropped with my co-host Andy Atherton and Eric Eels, and we had Matt Souza on. Pop Goes to the Couch with myself, Sean, Tim, and Andy. You should be hearing the season finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier coming up, and that can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflett.
All right, you can find me at NWA Crack and Roll on Twitter. I'm also on the Pop Experience Twitter now that we have a Twitter account for that. You can find me also on Pop Goes to the Couch, on the Wrestling Feed. You can find me on Wrestling's Chicken Salad, Highway to the Impact Zone, and a new pod that Scott and I will be doing that will probably be debuting somewhere around the time this episode comes out. It is called Place to Be Nation YouTube Roulette, where myself, Scott, Jake Williams, and Logan Crossland, we will pick 4 matches once a month off of YouTube that we're going to spin the wheel and kind of make a deal, and we're going to live watch 4 matches from YouTube, something we decided to do after the network went away, and kind of we got some inspiration when we were doing those WrestleMania pods. So it'll be a fun live watch, random matches that are probably hardly ever seen, hardly ever talked about. So we look forward to doing that show once a month. That should be a lot of fun. So with that, I am Sean Kidd. He is Scott Shiflett. We will see you on episode 8 of Battlestar in the 25th Century in a few weeks for part 2 of Planet of the Slave Girls.
Beep, beep.